Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have this afternoon, oh Lord, to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, we offer this service into your hands. We say, may you take over. May you overwhelm every other spirit that is not of God. We pray, oh Lord, that you give us a receptive heart. We come against the best of the air, oh God, that taketh the word out of our hearts. Father, may your word come and may ye accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it. I pray, O Lord, that we will not leave here the same as we came, but we will leave here different people with new understanding, with another step closer in our walk with you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Powerful. And why don't you put your hands together for these powerful people of Zion? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Well, it's good to see all of you this wonderful Sunday afternoon. I believe you are beginning to enjoy the weather and the beautiful sunshine. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's powerful. Yasmin, it's good to see you. I miss you. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Well, this afternoon, for a short moment, for a short time period, I'm going to continue with a message that we began sharing last week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we have been sharing from one of Bishop's powerful books, The Sweet Influences of the Holy Ghost. The Sweet Influences of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or The Sweet Influences of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We have been learning from this book. We've been sharing from this book several weeks now. And I tell you, the more and more we share from this book, the more I get blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm praying by the grace of God that you are also being blessed. Amen.
Amen.
I believe by the grace of God you are also being blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. So we are going to continue with a message that we've been sharing. And I believe you'll be blessed. I want you to turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi, the book of Malachi chapter 2. The sweet influences of the Holy Spirit on your marriage. This is chapter 20 of the book, The Sweet Influence of the Holy Spirit. So we've been sharing about the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit on your marriage. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who are not married, I want you to not take this message lightly, but I believe strongly that it's a very timely message for you if you are single and you hope to get married one day. It is a very timely message, and I want you to receive it, write notes, take points, and I believe you'll be blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you have been blessed by this message? I've been blessed, and I believe the Lord is going to speak to us. So Malachi chapter 2, and let's read from verse 13. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offerings anymore, or receives it with goodwill at your hand. The next verse. Yet ye say, wherefore? Otherwise, why? And the answer is, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Hallelujah. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hated putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Hallelujah. So we've been sharing from this message that if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, if you do not have the Holy Spirit influencing your life or influencing your marriage, you have a very high tendency to deal with your wife treacherously. Hallelujah. To deal with your wife treacherously. Now, we shared last week that there are times that we feel that we have a right to treat our wife or our husband because of his or her behavior. Do you see? So sometimes we say, it is because of this and that, that is why I am doing this. Hallelujah. Now, when you deal with your wife like that, you have been unfair, and you have been unkind, and you are dealing treacherously with her. Hallelujah. Because when you made a vow before her, she had chosen you, that you making this vow can deal with every setback that she has. Hallelujah. And God was your witness. Amen. God was your witness. God was standing there when you made that vow, when you made that covenant. Hallelujah. And so if now you are saying, because of A, B, and C, I am dealing this way with you, God is unhappy with you. If for one or two reasons you are saying, I am putting you away, the Bible says God hated putting away. It means God hates divorce. Let us read the same scripture in the Message version. Let us read it from the Message. I was looking at the Message and it was fascinating. He says, and here is the second offense. You see, there was a first offense. If you read the succeeding verses, the first offense was that you even chose to marry someone who is not godly. That is the first offense. That you chose to marry someone who is not godly is an offense to God. Hallelujah. I will come to that. Now the second offense is, here is the second offense. You fill the palace of worship with your whining and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know what is whining? When somebody is whining, do you understand? You see, sometimes your prayers have become whining in the ears of the Lord. You see how annoying when someone is a whiner. When someone is whining, you see how that person can become annoying. Now you have become annoying to the Lord. Your prayers are like whining to the Lord. And you understand what is sniveling? Sniveling is when someone is crying. You see how sometimes you are praying and you are crying and your nose is running and you are crying, oh Lord, and you are crying and you are praying. That becomes annoying to the Lord. And you are doing this because you have asked the Lord for something and you have not received it. Isn't that one of the reasons why we pray so fervently and we are crying and we are on the ground and we are all over the place when we want something so badly from the Lord. He says, because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know why? The Bible is asking you. He says, do you know why? Simple. This is the answer. Simple. He says, because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows. You've broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. You have broken those vows. That you are doing what you are doing to her because of what she is or what she has become. You are broken those vows. Hallelujah. And that is the reason why you cry unto the Lord and he does not give you what you want. That is the reason why your prayer has become like whining in the ears of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the reason why when you are praying and you are shedding tears, it's sniveling. Hallelujah. Because you have dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. Amen. He says you have dealt treacherously. He says you have broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. God, not you, made marriage. I want you to underline that. It is God who made marriage, not you. God made that marriage. It is God who makes marriage. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. The spirit of God inherits even the smallest detail. The smallest detail. That means that even walking down the aisle, the Spirit of God inherits it. That means standing before the priest, the Spirit of God inhabits it. That means even the way you wear your veil, whether your face is covered or you expose it, for one reason or the other, sometimes we know why. The Spirit of God inherits that detail. Why you have uncovered your face. Hallelujah. You see, so the Spirit of God inhabits every detail of the marriage. And what does he want from marriage? What does God want from marriage? Children of God. That's what he wants. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Hallelujah. Guard the spirit of marriage within you. There's supposed to be a spirit of marriage that is within you. I said there's supposed to be a spirit of marriage that is within you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, guard against the spirit of marriage within you. It means be careful of the spirit that inherits or that inhabits your marriage. It can be a different spirit also. It can come from a different spirit. Hallelujah. You see, guard against the spirit of marriage within you. And don't cheat on your spouse. And verse 16, he says, I hate divorce, says the God of Israel. God of the angels' army says, I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. Hallelujah. Do you understand what that means? Because he says, for this reason shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And now he says, I hate the violent dismembering of this flesh. When you are dismembering, when you are separating, when you are divorcing, God describes this as violence. And he says, he hates it. He says, I hate it. When I put two together and I say, no man shall put asunder. When I put two together and I say, they become one flesh. I hate when people are trying. When lawyers are trying to dismember this one flesh. To separate them. He says, I hate it. I dislike it. Hallelujah. He says, I hate dismembering of this one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves. That's a warning. Don't let your guard down. Don't cheat. Don't let your guard down. Do you see? You see, when you are cheating on your wife, when there are other women who like you and you think you are all that and you are macho, it's not macho. You have let down your guard. You have let down your guard. It's not a strength. You don't have strength. You have let down your guard. And God is very disappointed in you. Hallelujah. He says, don't let down your guard. And then he asks, don't cheat. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you this afternoon? So we shared a lot of things from this scripture last week. And I will encourage you, if you are not here in church, to get a copy of the message. I was blessed from that message. And I want to encourage you to get a copy of the message. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, he says that there is a spirit that inhabits marriage. Hallelujah. There's a spirit that inhabits marriage. Now, God is saying that he made marriage and not you. Marriage was not made by any one culture. Marriage was not a creation of any institution. It's not a creation. It was not made in America. Marriage is not made in India. Hallelujah. Marriage is an institution that God created. He says God is the one that made marriage and it's not you. Hallelujah. God is the one that made marriage. And so you understand that the one who will know a lot about marriage and exactly how to maintain it or how to stay in it will be the one who created it. Hallelujah. The one who created marriage, he's the one who will know a whole lot about it. Hallelujah. Now you realize there are different forms of marriage. There are different kinds of marriage. There is the legal type of marriage where you go and you and your beloved, you go and you register before a judge. That is marriage. There is also the customary, depending on where you come from, there is also a customary form of marriage. Hallelujah. And then there is that spiritual part, or the blessing, or the wedding, which has come to be known as the wedding. Hallelujah. And as a church, we respect all three forms of the marriage. If you are from a certain place and your customs demand that you perform customary rites, please, by all means, have the customary rites. If you live in a certain country, they don't require that you and your wife come and sign papers and you can choose a woman and just you are free. But in other countries, you have to go and register, legalize the marriage. That also we respect. But we attach a lot of importance to the spiritual aspect. Hallelujah. We also expect that you bless your marriage. You bring your marriage before the Lord. You want the Lord to be a witness to that covenant. Amen. Because when the man starts treating you treacherously, you want the Lord to know. Hallelujah. You see, the judge does not mind so much after you have signed the thing. The judge does not monitor because, you see, the Bible says that, you see, it is God whose spirit inhabits every detail of the marriage. It is God who is in the bedroom and he sees that you are wearing jeans to sleep. Very tight jeans with a belt. It is only God, the judge does not see that. Hallelujah. Christian sister, you go to bed with jeans. Married woman. You have jeans pajamas. With your pajamas belt. That you wear to sleep. And only God sees these details. Hallelujah. Do you see how God is monitoring all of your details? That even the cooking, that you are angry today and you made it look like the salt was just by accident. And you put too much salt and you know the man does not like salt. God sees the detail. Hallelujah. He sees all the detail. But a judge does not see that. Your grandfather and your grandmothers and your uncles who sat down and performed all this custom, they do not inhabit every detail of your marriage. And so we attach a lot of importance to this third part. Hallelujah. But many people attach so much importance to the first part or to the second part. And they don't attach any importance to the third part. And even if they do, you realize that that is not so much of an importance. They are planning their wedding. They spend so much time and so much money in the celebration of the wedding, more than the ceremony, more than what is bringing God into it, more than what is inviting God into it. And so sometimes you see that as they are planning and they have drawn their program and they say, Pastor, we can only give you 20 minutes. You have to do this thing 20 minutes. Why? You say, because we have to have the celebration. We have to have the for 8 hours. And you see how much money they invest into the celebration. Now, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? What we have the celebration for, it is what God has witnessed, what God has been a witness to, what God has put together. That is why now we say, God has done this, so let us go and celebrate. So you are celebrating something that is not been made, or that you have not even attached importance to. Hallelujah. And that is why you have to allot more time and more prayer. You see, when women are having their wedding, they pray about the reception more than the ceremony. Sometimes people come late. People don't, even Christian brothers and sisters don't attach importance to the ceremony. They come late. They don't come. You see, the ceremony is going on and the whole place is empty. And the bride and the groom, they don't mind if you don't come for that one. But don't miss the celebration. Don't come late for the celebration. You have to see my first dance. You have to be there during my first dance. Were you there during my first dance? They don't ask, were you there when my husband was making those vows before God? Hallelujah. You see, they attach so much importance to the pictures that they go outside to take, that they can spend hours on. But the ceremony, we can only give you 10 minutes, Pastor. And if you are late, Pastor, make it fast. Let's go. Do it quickly, quickly. Because we have only 10 minutes for you. What are you going to celebrate? Do it fast so we can go and celebrate what? What are you going to celebrate? Hallelujah. That is why we attach so much importance. Amen. That is why we attach so much importance to the celebration. Hallelujah. Ladies, insist that the man brings the ceremony before the Lord. Ladies, insist that the vows be taken before the Lord. Sometimes people come to you and say, but Pastor, I have done the customary one. Is it not a marriage? It's a marriage. I have done the legal one. We have registered. Is it not a marriage? It's a marriage. But think about it. How that you can have three locks to put on a door compared to having one lock to it. How difficult will it be to break three locks? You see, by the time you break one, you break another one, and you break the third one, you have already reconciled. The time you break the first one, that means you have to go to the court, go to the lawyers, and they sign the papers, and they do this, and you go to court, and they cancel, and they write you a letter to say that you are divorced. That is one. And then two, now you have to say, okay, my uncle should take the drinks that we took. Sometimes they have drunk all the drinks. They don't even have the drinks. Sometimes even the company that made those drinks, 15 years later, they have closed. They don't make those drinks anymore. Hallelujah. And then finally, you come to the Almighty One, the Almighty God, who was a witness to this covenant. The one who says, I hate putting away. The one who says, I hate divorce. The one who says, when I put two together, let no man put asunder. Now you have to deal with that one, and you realize you are stuck. So one man of God says, putting three locks on a door secures it, gives it more security than just putting one weak, feeble lock on a door. Hallelujah. And that is why we insist on having the blessing or having your marriage or ceremony before the Lord. Hallelujah. Marriage without God is no marriage. Hallelujah. Sometimes you hear people that say, oh, but I know a couple, even my parents, they never had a blessing. They never had a wedding, but they've been married for 3 years. They've been married for 30 years. They've been married for 40 years. I tell you, you see, it's like having a stick shift. How many of you know what is called a stick shift? A manual stick shift where you drive with changing gear. You see, some of you were born here, or some of you learn how to drive here, so you don't know. But real driving, you marry force and maneuver. Hallelujah. And so some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But that kind of driving, it is manual. It is manual. You see, having a marriage without the Spirit is like driving a manual shift or manual transmission. Hallelujah. You need a lot of force. Sometimes you come up on a hill and you are standing. I remember recently we were in San Diego and we were up on a hill. The hill is like in your face like this. And sometimes you are driving a car like that with a manual. You come up on a hill. You have to learn a lot of maneuvers. You have to learn as you are coming down, you are braking. And you are doing all of this just to keep your car standing. Half clutch, half kind, and then you are going like this. Half clutch, and then you are going like that. That is very difficult. That is very, very difficult. Sometimes you say you bought a car with a moon roof. The moon roof is something that you have to wind. You wind like this to open the moon roof. That is manual. But when the Spirit of God inhabits, it is like driving a cruise control. It is like driving an automatic transmission. All you need is one foot. And you are just relaxed in your car like that. And you are just cruising. You can even put it on a cruise because the Spirit is guiding. And you put it on a cruise. And the marriage, you can go miles and miles and miles. Miles and miles. And you are not tired. You need a door, you need a window to close, you just put your finger. You put your finger on a button and then your window. You want in the middle way, and it comes up. Just a finger, no strength. No whining. That is when the Spirit of God is ruling in the marriage. That is when the Spirit of God inhabits the marriage. Hallelujah. You want your wife to do one little thing. You have to whine like a moon roof. Whine, 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 whine. Like a manual. But when the Spirit of God inhabits the marriage, you say, honey, say, sure, I could read your mind. I know what you want. Say, I could read your mind. Because there's one Spirit that is ruling us. Says, I could read your mind. That is when the Spirit of God inhabits the marriage. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit is not in the marriage, oh, you see, you're making a left turn. Making a left turn is like a whole project. You turn, like, turn and turn like this, and then you see the car is still going this way. But when the Spirit of God inhabits the marriage, you just turn. With your finger, sometimes with your finger like this. And then one hand, and the car is just cruising. And then you leave it. When you turn, you leave it, and then it just comes back. Oh. That is when the Spirit of God inhabits the marriage. Hallelujah. So why not you have the Spirit of God inhabit your marriage? Why drive a manual? Why drive a hard manual when there's automatic transmission? Hallelujah. And so, you see, Pastor, we have the customary one. So, is it not marriage?
We have the legal one. We are registered. Can we not sleep? Sleep! Who's preventing you from sleeping? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are saying that the most important of these is the one that you bring before the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he knows about this product more than any other product, or more than any other company that can manufacture. Hallelujah. God knows about marriage more than the law knows about marriage. God knows about marriage more than your customs know about marriage. Hallelujah. Sometimes your custom is such that they come and stand there. You see, he says, guard against the spirit that inhabits your marriage. Sometimes your custom, they come and stand there and they call upon all sorts of spirits. They're calling upon, he says, the dead ones, they are calling the ghosts of dead people. Ghosts of dead people who could not sustain marriage. They are inviting them into your marriage and pouring all sorts of things, inviting them to witness and be witnesses to your marriage. Hallelujah. Wicked people who have died, never submitting, never loving, and they are inviting their ghosts to come into your marriage. And that is what you want to call marriage. Bring your marriage before the Lord. Let us cancel every other spirit that can possibly inhabit your marriage. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you this afternoon? Wonderful. Why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we want to read from verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah. You see, this scripture, I believe we've heard this scripture many, many times. We've read this scripture many, many times. But you see, when you look closely here, you realize that the relationship between a husband and a wife is being compared to Christ and the church. Hallelujah. The relationship between the husband and the wife here is being compared to or with Christ and his church. And so if you look at verse 25, for instance, it says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ love the church. In other words, if you read another version, like the New Living Translation, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. Now, if I come to you and I say, the men in this church, you ought to wear your tie even as Stephen wears his tie. Men in the church should now wear their ties just as Stephen wears his tie. What will be the first question that will come in your mind? Who is Stephen? Who is Stephen? Who is Stephen? We need to know who is Stephen. If we are going to wear our ties like Stephen, we need to know who is Stephen. Now you realize that as I give this instruction, many men are going to want to wear their tie like Stephen. But they need to know who is Stephen. And if they don't know Stephen, though they have good hearts, though they have good intentions, though they have good deeds, though they have good plans concerning this instruction, they will do it just as they know how, because they don't know Stephen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Though they want to obey the instructions. You see, many men have good intentions. Many men have good plans when they want to marry a woman. Many men want, when they say they are spending money to have a celebration, they are spending money to have this customary, they are spending money to legalize their marriage and all sorts of things, they mean well. But the one who created marriage, the one who made marriage, the one who idea marriage came about, he says the way a husband ought to love his wife should be just as Christ loved the church. And so you realize that if the man does not know Christ, he's not going to know how to love you. If the man has never heard of Christ, he's not going to know how to love you. Though he has good intentions. Though he loves you, he wants to love you. Though he wants to maintain this marriage, he does not know how to do it because he does not know who this Christ is. And the one who made marriage, he says, if you want to make a woman happy, if you want to love a woman, then you have to do it just as Christ loved his church. Hallelujah. And so men ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Men have to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so you will realize that the man will try and try and try, but as long as he does not know Christ, he's never going to make you feel like he loves you. Because real love, it ought to be just as Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. I hope somebody is understanding what I'm sharing this afternoon. So God is showing us how the husband ought to love his wife. God is showing us how the husband can maintain a woman in the marriage. He's not saying, as you see your pastor loving his wife. He's not saying, as you see your father loving your mother. Neither is he saying, as you see in the soap opera. Because a lot of people think that real love is what they see in a soap opera. He's not saying buy her flowers. That is how you show how you love her. That is not what he's saying. Because a man can buy you flowers, but he does not love you at all. If he does not know Christ. Hallelujah. But he's saying just as Christ loved the church. Just as Christ loved the church. So you need to know, number one, who is Christ? You need to know, number one, who is Christ? And number two, how did Christ love his church? Hallelujah. So ladies, when someone comes to you and says, I love you, the first question you ask him is, who is Christ? Tell me who is Christ. If you are saying you love me, tell me who is Christ. If you really know what love is, tell me who is Christ. And then when he's able to answer that, then tell me how he loves his church. And then you ask him, do you love me like that? This statement that you made, do you love me like that? Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says, do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not marry people who don't believe in God. Do not marry someone who does not believe in Christ. Do not marry someone who does not know about Christ. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 3. When Abraham sent a servant to go and find a wife. Let's read that in the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 24 and verse, chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, I think it's Genesis chapter 23 and verse 4. 23 and verse 4, I believe. He says, here I am, a stranger and a foreigner among you. Please sell me a piece of land. Please sell me a piece of land so I can give my wife a proper burial. Let me find that scripture. Well, it's not this one. I believe, go to chapter 24, Genesis 24 and verse 3. 24 and verse 3. Look at when Abraham wanted a wife for his son. He says, swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Because they did not know who God is. They did not know who God is. And that no one can marry my son if he does not know who God is. Because real love, it comes from God. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I said, real love, it comes from God. I said, real love, it comes from God. Real love, it comes from God. And anyone who does not know God cannot love you. Anyone who is not a Christian cannot love you. Anyone who has not given his life to Christ cannot love you. I said, real love, it comes from God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. I hope you are being blessed. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from where? I didn't hear you. Love comes from where? He said, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love, it comes from God. Love, it comes from God. Adopt, love comes from God. Love does not come from anywhere. Love does not come from flowers. Love does not come from Chinese food. Love does not come from good dinner. Love does not come from candlelight dinner. Love, it comes from God. Hallelujah. Love does not come from good cooking. It does not come from nice soup. It does not come from light soup. It does not come from corned beef stew. Love comes from God. Hallelujah. Does not come from spring rolls and jollof rice. Love comes from God. Hallelujah. Love does not come from a beautiful shape. Love does not come from big buttocks. Love does not come from muscles. Love, it comes from God. Hallelujah. Love comes from God. It does not come from 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet. Love comes from God. Hallelujah. He says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. So if you are saying you love me, then you ought to know God. If you are saying you love me and you don't know God, you are a liar. Because if you love me, then you should know who is God. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Hallelujah. In other words, anyone who says he loves you and does not know God is not a lover. That person does not love you. It's not love. It is something else. Hallelujah. You can call it anything that you want, but it's something else. Because the Bible says God is the origin or the source of love. So how can you even begin to talk about love when you don't know the originator? When you don't know the source? When you don't know the one from whom love comes? He says love comes from God. God is love. So if there is love in you, we must find God in you. Where is God? You say you have love. Where is God in you? We should be looking and seeing God in you. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you this afternoon? Look at that same scripture in Ephesians. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see, so if the Spirit of God is not upon such a person, and then you tell the person, submit yourself, in the 21st century, he will say, you are cheating me. You are a man, that's why you are talking like that. You see, there's a young lady, she's sitting here. When she first didn't have the Spirit in her, this was a very big issue for her. She knows she's here. After service, you come to tell me. She's here. She's sitting on this side. You see, when the Spirit of God is not in you, it is difficult even to accept this. When the Spirit of God is not in you, you feel that in the 21st century, this does not make sense. Why should I submit myself to a man? It is for Abraham and Sarah in those days. Why should I submit myself to a man and call you my Lord? And call you my Lord. But look at the scripture. It says, for wives, this means submit your husbands as to the Lord. Or submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So, who is the Lord? The wife has to know who is the Lord before she will know how to submit to the husband. If the wife does not know the Lord, the wife cannot submit to that. So you go and you find some unbeliever wife and you marry her and you say, hey, pastor, she does not submit to me. She does not. When I say this, she says that. When I say get up, she sits down. When I say stand, she says. She's not submitting because she does not know the Lord. She does not know the law. I tell you, the one who made marriage, he knows more about marriage than any custom. That is why when they sit you down in the customary, they say, listen, as for a woman, you don't let your husband know everything. You see, if you have money, you bring it home. If there is poverty, you take it to the husband. You see, what kind of nonsense is that? What kind of nonsense is that? That if you have money, take it home. To who? To your grandparents. And then when there's a loss, debt, when you owe, bring it to your husband. What does it mean? Go to the source, the one who created marriage. Hallelujah. The one who made marriage. Amen. Is somebody being blessed? So he says, wives should submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband has to know how Christ is the head of the church, so that she will accept this husband to be a head. And if the wife does not know who Christ is, what is church, she cannot submit. She will not ever submit. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding me? It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Do you know how the church is subject to Christ? If you know, then you are going to be subject to your husband in everything. Because the church is subject to Christ in everything. Now, if the wife does not know how the church is subject to Christ, how is she going to be subject to you? Gifty, are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Hallelujah. Claire, do you understand what I'm sharing? Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. And gave himself for it. Hallelujah. The husband has to know how Christ gave himself for the church. That is how he is going to give himself to this marriage. He ought to know. The husband has to know about church. The husband has to be in church to see how the church operates. To see how the church submits. To see how the church treats how Christ treats the church. If he doesn't know, he cannot treat you like that. Amen. Amen. Can I have a louder amen?
Amen?
You don't seem to like what I'm sharing with you. But I know I'm preaching a good message. I know I'm preaching a good message. Hallelujah. I said, I know I'm preaching a good message. Amen. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? You see, so when Christ is not in you, when the Spirit of God is not in you, you can try on your own. You can try on your own. And you try as you do, you realize that you get tired. You get tired. Hallelujah. You see, these days people are able to drive from here to Florida or Canada and they just nonstop. We just drove because you're just cruising. You know, but when you are doing the manual drive and the manual stick shift and you are changing and you are uphill and all those, you realize that it's very tiresome. And at some point you give up and you have to stay in some hotel to rest. That is why sometimes the women or the men, they give up and they say, you know what, let us separate and see how we do. They want to regather energy to come and continue the journey. Because Christ is not in it. Let us separate for a while. Separate where? And go where? But when Christ is in it, when the Holy Spirit is in it, it's a cruise control. It's a cruise control. Hallelujah. It's a cruise control. How often have you not purpose in your heart? Your purpose in your heart, you say, I will respect this man. I will not do these things again. I have changed. You have purpose in your heart. But you see, when Christ is not helping you, when the Spirit is not helping you, all you need is for the man to do his thing again one time. Just one time. I said I have changed, but this thing that you are doing is too much. I can't take it anymore. I said I've changed. It is you. It is you. I can't take it anymore. You see, because Christ is not in you, the Spirit helpeth. The Spirit's what helps you to deal with these things. Because love is of God. Hallelujah. Love comes from God. Amen. If you continue to read that same scripture in 1 John, verse 16. Look at verse 16. Let's read verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John 4 verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The next one. Herein is our love made perfect. You see, we are reading from that previous verse to continue with this. So let us go back again so that you will follow. Is it possible to put the two together? It's okay. Okay. They all have good memories to remember things. The Verse 16. 1 John 4:16. It's okay. We will take it. Very good. Wonderful. You see, it says, and we have known and believed that love that God had to us. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. It says, herein is our love made perfect. Why? When we dwelleth in love, when we dwelleth in God. Amen. You see, many wives want their husbands to love them. Many wives want their husbands to always love them. Even more with time, they want the love to be perfected. But he says that herein is our love made perfect, when we dwell in God and God in us. But you see, after church, as we are dwelling in God, hey, let's go. We have been in church for too long. Why are you talking to all these people? We have been in church for 3-5 hours. Why? Let's go. And you want your husband to love you. And he's dwelling in God, and you are taking him away from dwelling in God. And he says, herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect. And you are driving him. Let's go. And they are cheating you. You are sitting here doing things in the church every day. You are not tired carrying things every day. You are not tired. Herein is our love made perfect. You want him to love you, but you do not want him to dwell in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you realize that if you want your husband to love you, the best way is to push him into God. Push him into God. Let him dwell in God. Let him do things for God. Let him dwell in the house. Let him do things in the house of God. Let him serve God. Let him worship. Let him be filled with the Spirit. Let him be in God. Push him to do the things of God. If you want him to love you, if you want the love to be perfected, if you want to continue in the love, then give him to the Lord. And don't see it as cheating, that they are cheating you. Look at all the men. They finish and they go home. You alone. You are always here, staying here, cleaning, sweeping, arranging, carrying. Are you not tired? Let us go home. What is he going home to do? To watch TV and learn that when the woman does this thing, leave her. Hallelujah. Walk out. Amen. Be her. And you learn all sorts of things. Buy a gun. When the wife misbehaves, shoot her. You can't take it anymore. Because no one will kill her for you. Kill her. Hallelujah. And you also go home. Instead of dwelling in the house, dwelling and learning, you go home. And then you go and watch all sorts of people on TV. And they say, they are talking about marriage and divorce. And you are paying attention and you are watching. And then someone comes on and he's teaching you about divorce. Lady, you don't allow a man to treat you like that. These days, you don't allow the man to take you. Why did God give you 2 legs? Why? To walk away from the marriage. Walk away. Our time is up. Put your hands together and let us bring the service to a close. Our time is up. Herein is our love made perfect. When we dwell in God. Stand unto your feet, please. Let us bring the service to a close.
Share amongst us. Let it be love in our hearts.
May now your love fill this place.
Yes, love is amongst
us, O Lord.
Love comes from God.
To
marriage is not made by any man. You did not make marriage.
God
made marriage. Marriage is made by God. Marriage is the creation of God.
Of brotherly love.
Marriage is made by God.
that is real. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love. Let there be love. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love in our hearts.
Why don't you lift up your hands and ask
down your
love in your heart.
Of
our soul,
Lord, give us a prayer and understanding of brotherly love.
Transformation, a new spirit, oh God. Transformation, a change in our heart. In the name of Jesus. Oh, he shed his love amongst us. God shed his love amongst us. Love is of God. He that loveth knoweth God. He that lieth, he that loveth knoweth God. If a man says he loves you and does not know God, he is a liar. Oh, yes.
Let there be love.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. He said, you shed your love abroad amongst us. You shed your love in our hearts, oh God. Father, transform us, oh God. Father, offenses, oh God, they have marred our love. Father, wickedness from men, they have marred our love. But love is from you. Love is from God. Father, people have offended us. And it's admired our love. Offenses have marred our marriage. Father, there is no love in our marriage because we have driven you out. But love is of you. And he that made marriage, he says that his spirit inhabits every detail of marriage. Your spirit inhabits every detail of our marriages. Heavenly Father, even them that are not married, I pray, oh Lord, that you enlighten them, oh God. Open their eyes, oh God. To see indeed who has God in him. To see indeed who has God in her. If anyone says, I love you, may that person know Christ. And may that person know how Christ loves his church. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this change. We thank you for this new love that has been renewed in our hearts. We bless you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We thank you, Lord, that you have transformed our relationships, our marriages to be. We thank you, Father. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
With all eyes closed, every head bowed. If you are here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to invite Jesus into your life. You say, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. Say, I don't want to leave this place without receiving Christ in my life. You say, I want to know this Jesus. For my marriage, I want to know this Jesus. For my future marriage, I want to know this Jesus. To love my wife, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have him in my life. I want him to receive me. I want him to save me. If that is your life, if that is your prayer this afternoon, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. And I will say a very short prayer with you. Anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Do not leave here the same. Do not live here without receiving Christ. Do not live here without receiving Jesus as your Savior. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you for the gift of salvation. Why don't you all say this after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying.
I am a sinner.
I
believe
you are the Son of God,
and that you died for my sins.
Lord Jesus,
I believe you rose again on the third day.
Lord Jesus,
you died on the cross all for me.
Please forgive me
of my sins.
Come and live in my heart.
Please take control
of my life.
Please write my name
in the book of life.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats?